Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
A study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences illustrates how AI fails to detect oppression signs in social media posts by Black Americans as compared to their white counterparts. Joelle Brevel, a.k.a. the Medical Mythbuster, has been saving lives by tackling racial and gender disparities in healthcare via social media. X tests and confirms plans for new not-safe-for-work communities that may have it competing with sites like OnlyFans. And New York City is starting a gun scanning program in subways, even though the CEO of the company whose technology is being used says it's a bad idea. We got all this and more for you in episode 124 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly, it's your girl, Tech Life Steph. And in the middle box this week, we have our guest host, Professor Dr. Tanya M. Evans, Chief Learning Optimizer. I'm on your website right now, and I love Chief Learning Optimizer. I saw that early, and I was like, I like that title. But you have seen her here before. She came, she broke crypto, Bitcoin, FinTech down for us, and so it could forever be broke. Crypto expert, law professor, Penn State Dickinson, Advantage Evans. The book. Oh, speaking of which, I had a chance to plug your book the other day. Because I was, I do a segment for WURD, which is the Black radio station in Philadelphia. I do a segment like every other week, just a little quick tech tip or whatever. And I got on and the host was like, yo, cause we were, I guess he had just read about, Sam Bankman-Fried getting sentenced or about to get sentenced. And, he was like, yo, you know, crypto, what can you tell me about crypto and our people? How can we? I was like, I can't tell you much of nothing about crypto and your people. I said, however, and I pulled it right out my bookshelf. Yes. I said, this is the book to get. Aww. If you want to know a little something about some crypto, this is the book to get. I was like, Professor Tanya Evans is the expert, is the global international expert in this space. So we are happy to have you back here, girl.
We certainly are.
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm home.
Yeah, because we're going to treat you like you're home. I do got to give you some props on this. So you are our very first guest on the Tech John all the way back in year one. Like, I think we were only doing the show maybe 2 or 3 months when you came on. And now you have the fact that you were first, but it is still one of our most downloaded episodes.
Okay.
That we have. I still see numbers on that. And this, like Terrence, he clipped up some social media clips. Those things definitely still get, because you was dropping some nuggets. You was dropping some fire on that first episode.
That's it. Yeah.
So we love the fact that you're able to come back in this time, not as the guest, but as a guest host. So we're going to get into these tech stories and chop it up. But before we do, I want to let everyone know, if you would like to support the Tech John, there's a couple ways you can do them. The one I'm going to talk right at the top of the show is becoming a patron. So if you would like to support the show, if you head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn, we've got multiple tiers over there, any one of which gives you access to our live stream and our after party. So after we get done recording the show, we spend about another half hour just talking about whatever, and you get access to those benefits. Also, you get access to ad-free RSS feeds and stuff like that. So once again, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. So with that being said, Steph, I sent you a WhatsApp message because I wanted to make sure you got it, and I can see that you got it, about this first one. You was right here on it, and I'll just read it here. There's a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences that illustrates how AI fails to detect oppression signs in social media posts by Black Americans as compared to their white counterparts. So basically, you know, off the shelf software that we use to, you know, do sentiment analysis and stuff like that. It works one way for white folks, works a completely different way for black folks. And it's even Shocker. More egregious than just saying it just works a different way. It's like, this is how they set it up to work this way. It's like they did things to make it work this way. So what this study is doing is that, and they've actually looked at some previous research, where they look at social media posts and they can kind of tell from social media posts by the way people write. So if they use words such as I and me or mine or certain categories of words, such as self-deprecating terms, they can determine that they are at a higher risk for depression. Now, it's not diagnosing. It's just saying these folks you might want to look more closely at. But what the AI researchers discovered was that the off-the-shelf software that they're using. So this is just regular. So they didn't say the name of the software, but just the regular stuff that, you know, stuff that is not tuned one way or another. They're using some regular stuff. They analyzed posts from 868 volunteers, which included an equal number of black and white adults, and found that eye talk or self-focused attention, self-deprecation, self-criticism, and feeling like an outsider type speech that's related to depression exclusively is used for white individuals. So that doesn't sound like that it's, oh, they didn't tune it for us. It sounds like, no, they absolutely told it not to tune for us in using it. I don't know that to be true, but the way that this is, the writing this is like, this seems kind of, you know, even worse than, like I said, it seems when you read it, because the authors are saying that race seems to have been especially neglected in work on language-based assessment of mental illness. So if the people doing the study, they're saying, yeah, it looks like y'all weren't even trying.
We weren't even trying to.
It's like you actually made it a point not to. So,
and it's three times less predictive for African-American people versus white people. And the thing that I took away from this was I thought about, you know, not necessarily just social media, but other tools that do this type of prediction, especially for young people. There is an app called Bark and a service called Bark, B-A-R-K, which is one of the leading sort of monitoring pieces of software for parents to use on their kids' phones and, you know, tablets and stuff like that. And it looks for stuff like this. It they have a whole long list of things that it's looking for, like bullying, like suicidal ideation, like depression, like all of these other things. So it's using AI, I'm sure, to look for these things in these kids', you know, text messages and emails and communications. So if a similar tool, because if this tool is faulty, I'm sure other tools are probably faulty as well, because they just haven't taken into consideration that maybe black people speak a little bit differently or use different euphemisms or language than somebody else. If that tool is not working like it should, are some of these other tools at risk as well, where the stakes are a lot higher because you want to catch this in a 12-year-old before something bad happens? You know what I mean? So I just started thinking about all the other tools that may be doing a similar sort of screening, but also have similar biases and have left out, you know, the proper code to look for these types of things across a spectrum of a population of the population and not just one. So it just, you know, another reason to piss me off.
It definitely seems like, you know, we have this great opportunity with Web3. We talk about, and your point is so important, because the use of artificial intelligence across industries, across sectors, with all types of technology, it makes me think not only of existing biases, diversity issues, which is this whole other, you know, panoply of crazy, particularly right now. But it makes me think of the impact on healthcare, especially in mental health. Mm-hmm. And then we are always looking to private entities to do the right thing when they're really not trying to do the right thing. As you were talking, it's like, is this a feature or a bug? And now we have this report that shows us more feature, and we'll think about it later. And so that, obviously, as a lawyer, that makes me think about policy and regulation and really pushing for transparency in the development of AI processes and what mandates need to be in place to ensure inclusion and diversity. But obviously, that's more than a notion.
Yeah.
So, you know, Steph, one of the things you said is like the software is not right, working right. But I challenge that. I think it's working exactly like it was designed to work. The problem is that they said, oh, we're just going to completely ignore testing this on 12 to 14% of the population. And let's see what happens. So as I'm reading through this, what the researchers saying, it's like, no, it's not that it doesn't work well for African-Americans. It's like the software was designed not to work for them at all. Now, I'm putting words in their mouth. They didn't say that, but they did say that they were shocked by this. And my gut would tell me that people who are doing research in this area aren't shocked by much because this is the area that they do research in. But the fact that they're saying that we were shocked at how bad this was is really telling. And it goes back to what we always say. It's like you don't have to make a conscious decision to say, I'm going to do this thing that's going to be racist or sexist or ableist or, you know, or any type of ist. But just by the fact that you didn't, you know, just by omitting a large segment of the population and not testing it specifically for them, these are the kind of things that creep up in it. And to your point, Steph, is like, you know, this is specifically about depression, you know, against these 868 people. Maybe it works incredibly well for everyone else outside of them, but it doesn't really stop here because, just to change gears a little bit. I actually saw this video, I believe it was on a Kelly Clarkson show. There was a young man, his name is Joel?
Joel.
Joel Burvell. And he is also known as the medical mythbuster. And this is a, young fella, he is in medical school.
I've been following him on TikTok since I got on TikTok. He's amazing.
I noticed him maybe a week before he showed up on the Kelly Clarkson show last week. And then I watched that clip of her and him going over things. But, long story short, he just basically makes TikTok videos where he goes out and he just completely dispels things about medicine that are sexist, that are racist, that are all kind of ist. And it's really interesting because he has actually saved lives. There is a thing called a blood oximeter, and that's the little thing that you put on your finger pulse oximeter. Mm-hmm. And, they put these on your finger to determine your oxygenation levels when you're in the hospital. The thing is, they're not tuned for Black folks. So if you have darker skin,
I was literally just at my primary like a few days ago, like maybe about a week and a half ago, and it didn't work. He tried to say it was the fingernail polish, but I don't think it was
low key shade. But go on,
right. But I don't think it was the fingernail polish. I think it just did not work on my finger, and I've had them put it on my finger, the right way, and then have to turn it to get like the lighter part of my finger, like to read the lighter part of my finger. Like I've had nurses and PAs do that multiple times. So it's crazy that we still don't have the right technology that works for everybody. It's insane.
You have the lack of the technology, but also the tone deafness of the medical profession at this point in time, after we've gone, I know I'm sure that you've talked about the sensors in bathrooms. They're just, across the board, and to be at that level, particularly after what I believe they should have learned during the pandemonium, it makes zero sense to me at this time that that's not going to be a consideration. And a lot of people wear nail polish. I'm just going to go on record.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you didn't have an issue with anybody's nail polish that was not African American. Right. I'm just saying. Yeah.
So there's that. One of the other things that he just commented on was there is a test that they use to test your kidney function for folks who are having kidney issues. And the test is called the glomerular filtration rate, or the EGFR test. And this is kind of crazy to me. It's not, because I did a whole year of medical school before I decided that was not the thing for me. So I didn't know about this, but I understand what they were talking about. But they actually use this to determine whether or not you, determine your placement of where you might be on a kidney transplant list. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that up until 2021, they had a Black people modifier, or Black people multiplier in this test. And the reason is because they found that there was a lot more, there's something in the blood.
Creatinine
that African-Americans just tend to have more in. And at the time, they said, oh, well, just black people just have more of this. So let's put a modifier on here so that they don't get all the kidneys. I don't want to say that that's what they said, but they put a modifier.
And they assumed we had more creatinine because we were more muscular.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not no more muscular than nobody. Trust me, I try to get in the gym, but I am not more muscular than anybody else out here.
Yeah, they was straight up Jimmy the Greek in it, on this science. Some folks will get that. But what it turns out is that the African Americans that are going in because they're having kidney issues also suffer from an advanced clip. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, generally being overweight. And these are also reasons that their creatinine levels might be higher. Well, they didn't look at that. They just said, no, you're black. We're going to give you this multiplier. So this is all the way up until 2021. So when he puts a video out talking about this, hey, if you have had this test, and you haven't been tested, you know, recently, and you know, they're telling you you're good, you might want to go get retested because they changed this rule in 2021. And there was a woman, and she actually, the woman's sister came on the Kelly Clarkson show. This woman basically had them retest for her levels, for her EGFR levels. And they said, oh, we need to get you a replacement kidney right now. Bumped her up 5 years
on the wait list.
5 years on the wait list. So. He absolutely is saving lives and doing this stuff. And like I said, what he's essentially doing is he's just putting out videos where he just says, hey, this is an area where women are going to be adversely affected because these tests are made for white men. Here's an area where African Americans are going to be adversely affected because these tests are made for white men. Here's an area where children are going to be adversely affected because these tests are made for white men. So,
and I just want to shout Saray out. Saray, we're sorry to hear. She said her father had total kidney failure that went undetected because of this very thing, this EGFR. Yeah. So, Saray, we're sorry about that. I mean, you know. Hopefully what this brother's doing and what we're doing here to raise awareness can prevent this from happening to anybody else. But it literally makes no sense that, you know, we are just complete and to be completely ignoring the, you know, a whole segment of the population while at the same time out of the other side of your mouth talking about how you don't need DEI is it just the cognitive dissonance there is just mind boggling.
Yeah, absolutely, that's a part of that privilege. That's clearly a part of the privilege. We talk about this of that there are two different, many different shades, pun not intended, of this. But when you think about the privilege of not having to even think about it.
Right.
Right. So that's one. And then when it's brought to your attention, do you have the privilege to ignore it because it quote unquote doesn't impact you? And which is the more serious concern. And at this point in time, this young man can go out there and use social media for good. Lord knows we need a little bit more of that. Then this is great example of technology and education and social media coming together to really change lives. I think, you know, I have a lot of hope for the future when you have folks like this who are taking it upon themselves to make it plain, put it where the goats can get it, which also shows that it doesn't take, it's not rocket science.
Right.
Right. You can either intentionally keep people out or be intentional and proactive about really doing the work of what medicine is supposed to do.
Absolutely. So this young man, how he got into this, he's actually in med school. I believe it's at Washington State. He's in med school out there. And he started med school in 2019. So his first year, his second semester, he's right in the middle of the pandemic. Right. So it his story is like, I just had a lot of time on my hands, but I noticed some things. It's like my class has a couple hundred folks in it. There's two people who look like me, two black men in his entire class. And then he says, and it's like, you know, it was just especially bad at his particular class. But when it comes to African-American doctors in the United States, there's only about 5.9% of doctors are African-American. So we don't have doctors that look like us to the extent of the population. If everything was going to be based off the population, there should be about 14% of doctors should be African-American. So, Stephanie, you mentioned this, that we actually have Congress people right now that are proposing a bill to ban all financial aid to medical schools if they have DEI offices you know, at the camp. And it's just like, so.
And the crazy part is the name of the, in the name, inside the name of the bill, they force fed the acronym to say educate, but the U in educate stands for unbiased curricula. When the curricula is already biased, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, like, right. So does this mean that you're going to unbias the curricula that's already biased? Like, I don't get it. I there's nothing you can say that's going to make me understand this besides just racism.
And like, it's this part of this is just absolutely nuts. You don't want in the healthcare industry more doctors, more nurses, more just medical personnel that are representative of the people that they support. That's a bad thing. And I think, you know, what has happened is that certain forces have basically taken DEI and they've tried to make it into a four letter. It's a boogeyman word. It's like woke now, right, to where they're just using it.
Now a six letter word, but go on.
You ain't lying. But they're, you know, they're using it as though it's like the only thing in their minds that the folks who are proposing this is that DEI means is that you're going to let people who are unqualified get into these programs. And that has never been, that's never been you know, what it was for, you know, for affirmative action. It definitely has never been what it is for diversity, equity, inclusion. This is, I mean, there are programs where they're saying, hey, we want to target African-Americans because none of them come to school here. So can we go out and get some of the brightest and best in the country and say, hey, we've got scholarship money for you if you want to come to Washington State so that there's more than two in a class of nearly 200. That isn't racist. That's not, you know, what is the word they use? Reverse racism. That is, oh no, God. We just want our medical professionals to be more indicative of the people that they actually support. We talked about this, Steph, you might remember this, that there was a nurse who had a pregnant woman in, and the pregnant woman kept hitting her head. She kept doing this. So the nurse that was on shift said, hey, I think
she
we need to do.
She was about to put a 51-50 hold on this.
Yes,
sister.
She straight up was.
The black nurse was like, that's just how she scratches her head under her weave. That's so, all. She's just scratching her head.
So
she's not crazy.
So yeah, but it's like, that's what diversity helps you with. You kept something cultural potentially topic horrible from happening to this woman as she is having her baby just because somebody recognized cultural differences. If you like, I recognize it because I have many women in my family that wear braids and locks and wigs and this and that and the other. So I know what that means, but I can conceivably understand how if you've never seen someone do that enough to where you've asked the question, why are they doing that? That you simply wouldn't know. But
or maybe you just kind of ask.
Yeah.
And I was, oh, you go. Yeah. You took
over. Exactly.
I was like, did I miss it?
You beat me to it. You're the law professor. You got to me. You quick. I got to be quicker than that because I was really about to say that. Like, but why not go ask the woman? It's like, why would you just do a medical, not a medical consult, but why would you do a psychiatric consult before just saying, hey, why do you keep hitting your head? Maybe she would have given you a completely, answer that just completely made sense. Oh, I'm scratching.
Wow.
That probably would have happened.
I got nothing.
So
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Cause there's nothing you can, like, there's literally nothing you can even say. And it just, we can laugh about it, but these are life or death situations at this point, especially when we talk about the medical community, like, you know, the idea that you want to take federal funding away and now DEI is a bad word and all this. It's just so incredibly frustrating because they know that that's not the case.
They do know. They absolutely know.
And that's the front because you're gaslighting the fuck out of us at this point. And you know, and it's just like, it's just very frustrating because it's just like, what do we do with this information at this point, knowing that they know and they are actively and maliciously and intentionally trying to roll back these things, you know, that have helped us advance in this society. Like, what is the response? What is the appropriate response to that?
My father's a doctor. He's a general surgeon who specialized in colorectal surgery. He went to school in the 70s. Both my parents went to Howard undergrad. Then he went to Jefferson Medical School. My mom went to Temple Med. My dad, you know, kind of going back to what you said about you didn't phrase it this way, but this is what I heard, the idea of being twice as good to get half as much. Mm-hmm. By the time someone reaches that level, and still the most Black doctors are coming out of Howard and Meharry.
Yep.
Still, mm-hmm. the number that you just shared, the statistics, they're about the same as the 70s when the cracks opened up for a short period of time. In fact, they're going backwards clearly, and that, all that is intentional. It is the gaslighting to meet all gaslighting. And unfortunately, we are in a climate where it's actually sticking. Because we come up against facts where you have people who say you're not good enough. But deep down, I think everybody knows if we were good enough to build this joint for free, if we're good enough to nurse your children mm-hmm. while being mm-hmm. enslaved, if we're good enough to do all of these other things, I think you already know.
They know.
I think you already know.
Yeah, they know.
So, all right, I just want to say, I did want to, you know, go back to the young man.
Making me sweat.
Joelle Bervell.
My hibiscus tea. Wait a
minute. The medical myth buster. Actively saving lives. And like I said, he's, you know, Oprah's gotten wind of him. The White House has gotten wind of him. And there is a bruh. And this is the one where you actually say this was a life or death thing. Guy goes in for COVID, is experiencing COVID. They put the blood oximeter on him. He's like, nah, test me some other kind of way. They literally wanted to send this bruh home. He refused. It's like, no, I know that this thing does not work for me. He was a dark skinned man. It doesn't work mm-hmm. for me. You need to check some other kind of way. The doctors did, and they rushed him to urgent care almost immediately. So literally, it's like if they would have sent him home, he probably wouldn't have come back to the hospital in the same state that he left it. So and it's just because you've got a young man who's like, I'm going to get out here on TikTok and I'm going to talk about all these things that are just messed up in medicine, and maybe it can help you out. Because I know for me, you know, if I ever have to go in, they put one of these blood oximeters on me, I'm like, hey, turn that thing sideways or give me the pin. I'm not adverse to needles. Pick my finger and go actually test the blood. Make sure the my oxygen is what, you know, is what you, you know, what this machine is telling you that it is.
Mm. So many people are afraid to actually raise their voices, too. So that's the other thing, advocating and always having someone with you. I do not let any family member go in without having someone there to unfortunately have to do that. I mean, it's not about money.
Yeah.
It's not a wealth divide issue when you can have someone like a Serena go in and almost mm-hmm. not come out mm-hmm. from maternal mm-hmm. the death rates and all that. So having someone by our side. If you can't also have a person of color, someone with cultural competence, I think that's the only way. This is literally about survival.
Yeah. Mm. Facts.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So Dr. Evans, we don't really talk about X a lot on here, but Stephanie just be wanting to talk about him all the time.
No, I do not.
She want to bring up Eli Musk and X all the time.
So, try to avoid, if at all possible, for real.
So this is actually something that I picked up last week, and she had mentioned it. We were talking earlier today, you know, just getting ready to do the show. But X is testing not safe for work adult communities, according to screenshots from some, you know, from some researchers.
Well, you didn't see the second link I put in there. It's been confirmed. They're not testing it anymore.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
So that's and, since you and I talked there, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is from today. Okay. TechCrunch, you know, kind of added an addendum to the article. You know, all of the things that they were planning to put mm-hmm. in place are going in place. And, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
what do you think about these ethical privacy concerns? What do you think?
Yeah, it's this site's just different, y'all. It's like, you know, Elon bought it. He owns it. He could do what he wants to do with it. And he's doing one just that. One. So here's basically what is happening. Now, for those who don't know, adult content has been, you've been able to post adult content to X or to Twitter for years. This is nothing new. What you couldn't do is you couldn't monetize it. So because you can't necessarily make money off of it, the folks who are creating this content, you know, one thing they're about is getting paid. So they would really only use X to just promote, hey, come check me out on my OnlyFans or come check me out over here on this website or what have you, and just send traffic directly from X, from Twitter to wherever they are ultimately getting checks. So it looks like what X has done, and this is happening back before Elon even bought them. This is something they were thinking about. They said, you know what? We keep sending all of these people away to OnlyFans. We keep sending them to these other websites where they're making the money while we go ahead and make it. So that's literally what it is. They're creating, you know, you can now do these communities and see if they can keep the folks in house and profit off of it here.
Kind of, if you can't beat them, join them type of stuff.
XXX, got it.
Right. 13% of all the content on X is not safe for work, according to some internal documents.
That's about
that
to go
Reuters
up.
Was able to grab, and it's the fastest growing segment of content.
It's about to get
on
faster.
The platform is where it's hella faster. The one thing I thought was really interesting, though, in the article that confirmed that this is what they were doing, they said this, and this is Elon Musk saying this. He also shared that X was seeing rapid percentage growth in communities and had been adding new features like the ability to include any X account's feed in the community feed. For example, a video game focused community may want to include the X accounts of notable video game reviewers or commentators. That sent up a little red flag to me, because I'm like, are you going to be allowed to do that without my consent? So you can put my feed into any community you want without my knowledge, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the community admin gets to pick and choose feeds that maybe they think the community might want to see and put them in there. So somebody can put my feed in a porn community without me knowing, like, and then I have to go and see that I've been added and take myself out into, like, that seems a little bit suspect to me. That seems a little bit suspect. I wouldn't want my feed added to any community without my consent, whether it was not safe for work or not. Like, don't just be adding me, bro. Like, what's up with that?
Gonna be any, like, because so that obviously brings up the content moderation piece, right? And you know, our ability to remove ourselves from lists, even before we get to the NSFW, it starts to sound a bit like that. Now I have to use, you know, my Black-owned business time to remove myself just from lists. And those are just things that I don't want to be a part of. And my feed, look, I'm in crypto. So there is no shortage of tomfoolery of people liking or retweeting and putting me on lists. It's literally like whack-a-mole at this point. You've seen all the fake accounts and things like that. It's really challenging. And that's before, without my knowledge or consent. But you know what? The lawyer in me knows that it's somewhere in the fine print that we don't know that's constantly being added to. And it does make me extremely concerned, because that's not just about, you know, let's put it this way. And tell me what you think about this. What are we opting into when we participate in this platform that says, okay, you can be here? Rob started it out. He said, this is different, y'all. X is moving differently than the Twitter we know and love. Then what does that mean for whether we're still there? How do we continue to look? I tweet every day and twice on Sunday. So, you know, this is more of a conversation without an explanation from my side.
Yeah, this is, I don't want to assume, because we know what assume says, but if we were all thinking, we would say that, oh, if you're going to create these kind of communities, we might want to give people the ability to just blanket opt out of everything. Right. Because I'm thinking that, as a business owner, I don't want anyone adding me to a list without my permission. So I opt out of everything. If somebody wants to add me, give me a notification so I can say yay or nay to it.
That's what you would assume that a company would do. But as I said, we all know what assumes
that company was not owned by Elon Musk.
I would. I'm not going to even give some Meta other or other social media company.
They wouldn't do that.
Do we make more money if we don't give them the option up front?
And understand that these communities will serve as data for XAI, the chatbot Grok. So know that all stuff that you're doing on this site right now is fuel, if you will, for their to train their AI model, and you might get thrown into a porn community without
your knowledge.
Right. So now my name is all linked to this shit, because now you got to think about digital footprint, right?
Right.
You know, if you get put in this community, you're linked to this community, whether you take yourself out of it or not. At some point, you were linked to this community, and the record of that link is going to be preserved on the internet forever. So now you have this tie that you didn't even make of you with this site that people are like, Steph was in, you know, babes, you know, big butt babes or something, like whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can only imagine what the names are going to be of these communities. So now your name is linked to that name of that community, you know, before you get a chance to even say, don't do it. Now my digital footprint all jammed up because of this, and my personal brand suffers as a result. So this is like just some bullshit all the way around.
Like I said, I'm not going to assume, but I can imagine that as soon as this happens to an advertiser and they say, oh yeah, the millions we were giving you, we're not giving you anymore because you need to get this fixed. They're just going to take that, and it won't take long, because there's people out here who are going to do it just to see what happens. Let me see if I can break X by doing this any more than it may already be. So
I see a lot of, you know, that's a huge industry, and you have all of the traditional legacy media and advertisers moving away, but you have this influx of the fringe material that, even if we call it fringe, the monetization of it can be exponential.
True.
Also not on purpose, but that is concerning to me. And I actually don't think he cares. Now, we're talking about one specific platform, but we can imagine a world where others,
you could extrapolate it to all the rest. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, he told you he wants to create a super app. He basically wants WeChat America. That is what he ultimately is trying to do. So I'm just, like I said, I'm never going to try to get into that grown man's mind. But if he wants to create an app to where you can go and get everything, like, hey, if this is how you roll, you want a little spice in your life, you don't got to leave X to go get it. You can go right over here to this community. It's like, hey, no point giving them the money when you can just give us the money. So, no, yeah, I understand it. But like I said, it's like when I saw it last week, I was like, yeah, this is about to happen. And it happened.
And
today,
it's not going
to
end well. Like, what could possibly go wrong? Right.
We'll see.
Not going to end well.
So, y'all, this last tech story we want to talk about is what's happening in New York City. The mayor there, he's having a month.
He's having a time.
He's having a time. But
he
ultimately,
got taken to school by old girl on the Breakfast Club. But I forget her name. I have to find her name.
Ray, please do.
Yeah, it's an epic clip. It's like she had my man. I stutter, but I don't think he does. But he was stuttering. But wait, what about this? So, but anyway, New York City is going to start putting gun scanning program in subways, which on the surface doesn't sound like that might make people safer. Until you find out who the company is and all the problematic things that the company has done as far as like fudging their own numbers and how often these things are wrong, putting the public into just general panic. So, Steph, I know this is one you stuck in. What is your take on what's happening in the New York subways, particularly about the particular subway stations that they put these gun sensors in?
Well, that's number one. The subway stations are the black subway stations. I think Fulton Street was, you know, like the Fulton Street station was like one of the first ones they were testing. And I mean, it don't get too much blacker than Fulton Street in Brooklyn. And the second thing was, you know, the technology doesn't necessarily work in subways. You know, let's set aside for, and I'm going to circle back to the fact that the company is problematic in how they've been handling their data in the first place. But the CEO of the company himself has said that subways in particular are not a place that we think is a good use case for us. And his name, let me get his name. Peter George is the CEO of the company. It's called it. The company is Evolve, E-V-O-L-V. And they have these scanners that use AI. They say they are, you know, already trained and attuned to spot every single kind of weapon, knives, guns, yada, yada, yada. But they're saying that these scanners don't necessarily work in subways because, it, you know, being underground and, you know, all these other factors. But the fact that Eric Adams is basically running with this concept, you know, basically creating even more of a police state than we already have in this country, is definitely problematic.
Absolutely. You think about, oh gosh, where do we even begin? Because obviously my legal brain is all ablaze. I think about the potential for racial profiling. At the top of the show, you're talking about how technology doesn't work on us, but then you have this deleterious impact of where this type of technology, even by the own metrics of the creator, at least the CEO of this company that says, because of the location, it's not going to work. It's like, well, let's just, we'll test it in the Black community. Is there I don't know, is he running for office again soon? Like, what is going on? We know that he's pro police and all of that, but is this racial profiling on steroids? We have the impact on the community's trust in law enforcement at a particular time when we need to be leaning in more than that, and the lack of trust in public institutions writ large. Mm-hmm. To me, like the legal, and then you expose the city to legal risk as well as the ethical considerations, which we could go on and on and on about the implementation of this program with all of the flaws identified at the outset. Right. So that I find it extremely problematic.
It's one of those things to where it's not like some guy says this doesn't work. I know, particularly right? Well, in some ways, it's the CEO of the company says,
yeah, the company, right?
Let me holler at y'all right fast. This don't really work underground.
Right.
You sure this is what you want to do? I mean, we're gonna take the check, but this, you sure? Yeah, let's go ahead and run with that.
And this was a company that had already been under fire for fudging their numbers around how well the software worked in the first place, even outside of subways, where he already said it wouldn't work. They've come under fire by, you know, shareholders and other people for inflating how well the scanners work in the first place.
Yeah, they're actively being investigated right now. You know, right now as this happens. So that even makes my last point even worse. It's like, so yeah, we've been investigating for fudging the numbers, but y'all know numbers. Y'all know this don't work on the ground, right? You still go.
Right. So you got two strikes against you.
Right.
But Eric Adams is doubling down anyway. And he says, quote, people may have had bad experiences with this technology. Adams, a former transit police officer, said, what we witnessed, it's living up to our expectations.
Well,
and we're
go.
Going to do an analysis and determine, hey, is it living up to our expectations? End quote.
At what cost?
At what cost? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know what to say. It's like,
I'm at a loss.
It's like the CEO of the company is, bruh, this, hold up. You may not want to use this. I mean, we're going to take the check, but we want you to know.
What do you think with all of this information? We can say whatever you want about Mayor Adams. He's not a dumb man. Everybody, you know, the what's in it for? What's in it for? I was like, look.
I don't know. I don't know what the end game is on this. I don't know that you find that many more guys. I mean, it looks like 17. Let's see, before the latest surge, and the NYPD had seized 17 guns from people stopped in the system this year. And I mean, you know, one is too many. I'll give it that. But 17 doesn't necessarily seem like an overwhelming reason to now install more surveillance, you know, in the subway tunnels, especially surveillance that's not going to work, that is already shown to be inaccurate, that will probably profile or target people of color in some way that's going to be unfair. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, we can't just pump our brakes on this one and, you know, maybe put a few more officers at each stop or something. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to this, but mm-hmm. but the end game does not look good.
No, it just right seems now. Like we're getting closer and closer. I mean, when you think about the original era of stop and frisk, and now you have all of this new technology that is being applied in the same way. Stop and frisk didn't work then. This is a new version of that. Those metrics, that data does not speak to success. And again, you know, when you say who pays the price for that, and who really can advocate for rights in that area too. There's a little thing called the Constitution, but you know, but if you don't have the resources and the means, we talk about it in the law, you have a right without a remedy, you have nothing. And so that makes it even more problematic of there will be far more people impacted for no reason with no little, you know, so few rewards for the imposition on constitutional rights. That's crazy. Yeah. In my humble opinion.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to find, you know, as you say, Steph, what is the end goal? You know, what do you gain from this when you already know it has so many problems?
Right.
So it just seems like there's so many things that could go wrong. They're going to be such bad publicity for you. And like I said, you know, Mayor Adams, you've had a lot this month. You've had a lot this month. It's like
you may want to pump your brakes on this.
Yeah, just hold on right fast on this.
Hold off for a minute and let the heat die down. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you this girl named her Oluyemi Olorin. Was the woman who was on The Breakfast Club with him that was just
eviscerated
slicing and dicing him every which way and like, just
you want to see a dead body?
Absolutely. She killed him. I was like, bro, why you come on here not knowing your stuff? Like, for real. You just, he played himself. He absolutely played himself. I was like, dag, boo.
So,
and now you about to do this and you know, give the community and the public even more ammunition and just.
Right. The double down.
I need a nap.
I know.
So, Dr. Evans, before we get ready to wrap up, you are an expert in this thing called cryptocurrency, from what I understand. And, you know, based off of some of the, you know, some of the nuggets you was dropping us last time. So it's been, you know, 2.5 years, you know, close to 2.5 years since you was last on. What's new? Cause I've noticed this. Bitcoin is like, whoa, it's over 70 now. It's like, you know, it went down and it came back up. So
I was hyped when I looked at my wallet recently. I was like, oh shit.
Ahead of the class, my star pupil. You said, what's going on? There's a lot going on. A lot has happened since we last spoke. And, you know, just at the outset, when we talk about more than just money, but currency. Currency makes me think of current, and current makes me think of energy. And I've started to think differently as I try to explain what it means to be in position to win over the long term. Mm. And so many people in the run up back in kind of after we got out of 2020, when we were sure the world was going to end, everybody was home, everybody was in front of the computer. There were a lot of macroeconomic things that were happening across the board to all types of assets. But it happened to be at the time when there was a run-up of crypto, really to its previous all-time high. We've exceeded that in this year for a couple of reasons that I'll leave you with. And I love to come back and talk more in depth because I think it's really important that we stay ready so we don't have to get ready.
Amen.
Every single market has an ebb and a flow. It has a bear market when people are retracting, moving back, the repositioning of assets. And then you have bull runs where the price goes up. There are the, you know, kind of the perfect storm to move things up and down. Wealthy people win in all economic markets. They're long when things are going up. They short assets when things are going down, and they win on both sides of the curve. And we have to think more long term about what's going on, because 2024 is the year that we are starting to see the upshift. The market is insane. It's the we have the all time high of Bitcoin since 2009, over 70,000 coin, but you literally can buy $1 worth. You don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. Bitcoin is very different than the thousands of others of tokens and meme coins. And I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist, but I do believe in it. It's a primary holding of mine. And I'm actually pretty conservative. People ask me, what's the, I don't deal with meme stocks. I know what they are. I know how they move. But I choose my, you know, I have my own investment thesis and I stick by that. So I don't move emotionally when things move up or move down slowly or quickly, right? I understand that I want to do dollar cost averaging, doing a little bit over time. Also take advantage of when the market pulls back. We call it buying the dip and kind of set it and forget it. And also balance out. It's a part of my strategy, but it's not, I own real estate, I own stocks, I own bonds, mutuals, exchange traded funds, you name it. I do all of those things, but traditional assets, particularly when we are trying as Black and Brown people to close the wealth gap, you don't do that by saving. You don't do that by high income. True. You do that by investing your time and your creativity in assets that do not return home void, have a return on interest, right? And so, excuse me, a return on investment. And so when you're thinking about things that pay interest or dividends, all of those are important. And you can do that with crypto as well. This is a great time to learn. It's not the best time, but it's not the worst. It's fewer than how... I don't even think we're close to 10%. Let's say 6-7% of the entire world owns Bitcoin right now. This is still an opportunity where there are no gatekeepers, only our fear and our lack of knowledge and the ability to identify and ride with trusted resources. Yes. So that's what we really have to get a hold of. We can't deal with carnival barkers. We cannot deal with naysayers. We've got to make it plain. You got to get the facts. And don't wait until you know everything until... That does not do us any good when we're thinking about what it means to be a first mover, like the first mover advantage for emerging assets and asset classes. That's where we are. And so this is an exciting time. Last thing, we had the approval reluctantly by the SEC of 11 exchange traded funds that trade on the underlying price of Bitcoin. That is a fully regulated vehicle where you don't actually own Bitcoin, but you can trade just like if you held QQQ or SPY, if you had a fund that trades on an index, for example. This is your opportunity. BlackRock, Fidelity, ARK Invest. Do not listen to what they say. Listen to what they do. Every bank is in it or about to be. So we have to get really serious and really clear really quickly. And the final thing that happens this year, around every 4 years, or every 210,000 blocks of verified information, the amount of Bitcoin that is created every 10 minutes is reduced by half. We call it the halving or the halvening. And it's about to happen in 2 weeks. And historically, the price has skyrocketed in advance. So that's why we have the ETF, we have the halving, we have SBF taking his ass to jail in a quicker spell than they did with Bernie Madoff. Like, this is a good time, is a good stretch. It won't always be this way, but we have to get it while we can. And that means information. If you want to get rich quick, then you got to get smart quicker. And that's what I want people to do, because we can do this, but we got to move with some urgency and with some clarity.
We are definitely going to have to get you back on to talk about some of this stuff, because I'm just thinking out.
I'm gonna put this back up there real quick. Get the book. Digital Money Demystified. Go from cash to crypto safely, legally, and confidently. Professor Tanya M. Evans. Get the book.
Yeah, we definitely going to get you back. And I'm going to ask you some questions in the after party. So patrons, stick around. But yeah, game's about to start. But anyway, Dr. Evans, tell folks how they can get at you.
Me? Oh, absolutely. AdvantageEvans.com is the best way. And if you want to lean in and learn more about the book, it's available wherever books are sold. I love to support independent booksellers. I love Harriet's Bookshop in Philly. Obviously, it's also available to Amazon.com. If you don't go anywhere else, DigitalMoneyDemystified.com. Those are your places and your spaces. And I'm all across social at IP Prof Evans as well.
Tech Life Steph, how can folks get at you?
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph, or just check out my website at StephanieHumphrey.com.
And before I tell folks how to find me and how to find the show, I do want to give a shout out to a new patron. I almost forgot to do it, but we have a new patron. This Yay! Week. Justin Christiani has signed up to support the show. So we Woo-hoo! Want to give you your flowers and thank you for supporting the show. But with that being said, I am Rob Dunwood. You can find me at all places at Rob Dunwood. And we are also on all things at the Tech John. So come holla at us however you holla. Until we meet again in a week's time. Peace.